first observation from someone close to the action on the impact of President Trump's choices about the way ahead.
He's really only looking at it in terms of the military footprint right now. But this is in sync with the record number of generals that he's appointed to civilian posts, and really the beginning of the dismemberment of the State Department, I think, imperils all of us.
Now, that observation by former Ambassador Daniel Feldman and senior Obama advisor brings our first story today about the decline of the once mighty US State Department, their version of our DFAT, Department of Foreign Affairs. It brings it into very sharp focus. I spoke to him yesterday on RN Breakfast as he analysed the declining security situation in Afghanistan. In the midst of all the turmoil about the Trump administration, the fate of American diplomacy, as exemplified by one of the big arms of government, the State Department, is being somewhat overlooked. But people like Max Bergman, a former senior advisor, also a speechwriter for John Kerry, have begun to write about it compellingly. A month or so ago, in the online journal Politico, he said that Under Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, the State Department was a dying organisation. In the last week, two other major articles have appeared, saying more or less the same thing, implying huge issues for America's international relations and, of course, given our interactions, for us too, by default, especially with that extra frisson of exposure, given the leaked transcript of that phone call yesterday. Max Bergman joins us now via Skype. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
There were high hopes, weren't there, for Rex Tillerson? He was seen as a breath of fresh air the State Department needed.
Yeah, you know, I think when Tillerson was announced, you know, a number of people were thrown out as potential candidates last December. And when Tillerson was eventually announced as the guy, there was a great sigh of relief. There was a sense of, you know, they just had two real jet-setting secretaries of state in both John Kerry and Hillary Clinton that traveled around the world in an unprecedented way. And that, okay, here was a guy that had real management experience, used to be running a huge organization, global organization, and maybe he'll be more sort of focused on just sort of, you know, making the trains run on time. And, you know, that's fine. Okay, you know, the State Department can work with that. And what's happened since that time is a total management collapse, actually, within the State Department, where it's not only the State Department has become increasingly sidelined in a lot of the policy debates that are happening and has lost influence, which is normally how you would judge the role of the State Department, how influential it would be. So during the Bush administration years, it was, you know, Colin Powell was seen as running the organization well, but it lost influence over the Iraq War and other was sort of sidelined. Mm. In this case, it's both being sidelined, but also there's an active effort underway to kind of deplete the capacity of the State Department.
Well, what do you mean? How so?
So it starts with firstly forcing a lot of people into retirement, very senior people that would be nominated for ambassadorial posts would have senior jobs, career people being shown the door and said, you know, no, thank you, please leave. And then putting a real chilling effect into mid-level staff that you can no longer move jobs. So if you're a 30-year-old civil servant, you know, every few years you look for a new job, you look to move up the chain. And what they've stopped doing is stopped allowing people to make either lateral moves or even moving up in many cases. And they're cutting the number of people that the State Department is bringing on board, the new class of Foreign Service officers.
Yes, can I just interrupt you because your Skype line is just falling in and out at times. So it's he cancelled the newest intake of Foreign Service officers. And you also say that people have been told that you have to lose three people in your department before you can hire one. That's a pretty definite. So I don't understand. Is this cost cutting or what?
So they claim that they need to cut costs and that they've submitted a budget to reduce the State Department by one third. And instead of normally waiting for Congress to approve the budget, they're just starting to do it and starting to not implement programs that Congress has actually allocated money to do for the State Department to implement. And so what this comes from is not cost cutting. I mean, the economy in the United States is growing. You know, we have an unprecedented years of growth. This is about ideology. This is about viewing the State Department as a means of advancing globalism, whatever that means, and as the State Department as sort of a liberal bastion within America.
Well, is it?
In my experience, it's not. That what the State Department is clearly focused on one mission, and that's both advancing American interests and advancing American global leadership. And sometimes that takes kind of a liberal bent when it comes to international institutions like the UN. But in other cases, State Department can be quite hawkish and was often way more hawkish in the last 8 years than the White House, such as on Ukraine's security assistance. So the State Department tends to be a very sort of realist organization that oftentimes but wants to pursue international agreements, treaties that sometimes make it the ire of the right in America. But so this is an ideological pursuit to deconstruct the State Department. And with Tillerson, you have someone who has had no experience in Washington. And Washington's a complicated town, and this being Secretary of State's an incredibly complicated job. And he's trying to, in my view, he's a fish out of water, and he's trying to be loyal to the president and implement the president's vision, which in this case I think is largely his strategic advisor, Steve Bannon's. So we have, I think, a case of where ideology is guiding how U.S. foreign policy is implemented. And there's the State Department folks that are still there are doing their best, but we have an incoherent administration in terms of policymaking as well. So it's an incredibly demoralizing environment right now.
Yes, I can imagine. You have a couple of marvelous lines, which you've obviously really thought about. America is just not showing up, you say, that this is the trouble. I mean, we've read about the numbers of ambassadorial positions that are just not staffed, for instance. But you're saying this is a choice. What Vietnam did to hollow out our military, Tillerson is now doing to state.
Right. And I think what we'll see happening is that when there's a crisis or a major topic like North Korea, you know, the State Department will move staff, so the North Korea office will be fully staffed. But then if you have an issue related to an arms control issue or a biological weapons convention, then if you have fewer people, it's going to be harder for the State Department to kind of do everything that it is called upon to do, to show American leadership, not just on one area, but in areas across the board. And it's also going to have a real problem in the programs that the United States implements, such as aid programs, whether that's demining or counter IED efforts in Mosul to clear the streets so people can go back, so refugees can return. Those are State Department programs that they implement. And if you cut the number of program officers, then you can't implement the money. So it's going to start. We're starting to see a retrenchment of not just the State Department, but of U.S. engagement in the world. And this is frankly a choice. You know, America does not need to pull back. America's economy is extremely strong. We have this amazing tech sector. Our universities are you know, still the envy of the world. There's no reason for the United States to go into this sort of retrenched crouch. We remain the global leader. We just need to act like it. And this is basically an act to pull the United States back for no reason.
Is there any indication of whether Secretary Tillerson is seeing this? Does he like, you know, sometimes people can kickstart things that they then fully grasp the gravity of what is happening and they might choose to wind them back. I mean, is there any indication? Is there any good writing, not that we could find, I must admit, but about how he sees this?
Yeah. So he has, in the sparse comments that he has made, and I say sparse deliberately because he hasn't really given very many press interviews, there's one where he complained about the management and decision-making of the State Department, which I found very ironic, considering that they're consolidating all decision-making within him and therefore have broken down the bureaucratic processes used to make decisions previously, and they have no people in power to make decisions. So he's complained about that. But what they're starting to do is trying to... Now, they've done a whole management review where they did a whole survey where they, you know, 35,000 more than half of the State Department employees responded to the survey. And now they're created working groups within the State Department to figure out how to implement some managerial change. But this is sort of a process in search of a problem. You know, the State Department could obviously be restructured. Any huge large organization can always use a degree of rethink. But what is being done here is they set a target. It's a bit like a company to, you know, suddenly finds that, oh my God, it has a 30% loss in profits and it's in the red and needs to cut. That is not the case with the state run. They are setting an arbitrary target and then seeking to now meet it. And in doing so, they're trying to elicit support from Congress. But what's amazing is that, frankly, there's bipartisan opposition to what Tillerson is trying to do. The question is, and this potentially leads to a constitutional crisis, where if usually what happens, the executive branch wants more money from Congress than Congress will allocate. But in this case, the executive branch wants less money than what Congress wants them to spend it on. And so that if the Congress is allocating money to programs and then State Department doesn't spend it, then they'll give the money back to the Treasury, which actually is against the law. And it's never been sort of adjudicated within the Supreme Court because of the separation of powers. But it leads to an incredibly complicated, arcane, bureaucratic fight between the executive and legislative branches. So this is going to be an ongoing process.
I just have to very quickly ask you before you go about this now infamous transcript of President Trump's phone conversation with our Prime Minister Turnbull, much discussed here, as you can imagine. Yeah. Democrats,
much discussed here.
Too. Much discussed there too, along with the Mexican Prime Minister, President. The Democrat Senator Mark Warner said he was very troubled by the leak and that it has serious implications that for foreign policy, because world leaders have to be able to have confidential conversations. I just wonder how, I mean, I don't know where you think the leak exactly came from, but I wonder how, is this symptomatic of something very, very serious underway?
I mean, the timing of the leak is quite stunning, given that the president just, you know, fired his chief of staff, his communications director, and one of his former press secretaries. So, you know, there's lots of potential finger pointing at maybe it was one of those figures. I think what it reflects is a total lack of discipline within the White House. And that starts from the top. It starts from the president. And that's, you know, the way the president approaches issues is the way his staff are approaching issues, where there are certain things you just don't do. And this is one of them. And, you know, I think it's quite revealing because it was quite damaging to Trump. Particularly the conversation with the Mexican president, where he ran on building this wall, which then he says is not that important. Mm. So someone who leaked it was obviously trying to cause the president a political headache and succeeded in doing so. And but the overall transcripts, I think, reveal something also very troubling about the president's grasp of the issues and of how to be president of the United States.
Look, thank you very much indeed for joining us. I do appreciate your time.
No, my pleasure.
Max Bergman, until this year, a senior advisor at the State Department under John Kerry, now a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, a think tank in Washington, and we'll have details about his very interesting Politico article of late June.